often the things that are most challenging are those that also help us grow and expand and experience life more richly. And in the long run, they have the biggest gifts.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel, Build It for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth, going live and strong today, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's like a whole green meadow in your ears, y'all, with all of her wonderful experience. Because today's wonderful award-winning best-selling author is a speaker, as well as a celebrated book coach for all the clients that she's helped get to the finish line, as well as a creativity catalyst. So that's right, folks. Got to spark your creativity to Love 99, as well as a faculty member of the Harvard Medical School CME Writing and Publishing course. So let's give it up for the lovely and tenacious Lisa Tenner. How you doing today, Lisa?
Great. Thank you, Dom.
My pleasure, Dee. My pleasure, Dee.
You're excited to be here on this sunny day in Rhode Island.
I'm excited to have you here. I'm looking forward to this. I'm like, yay. She's got freaking great content. I love her freaking work. It's like, yay, breathe, right, breathe. It's like, yay, you write, you breathe. Then you turn the page, then you wash your hands, then you breathe, and then you write. And you turn the page and wash your hands, and you breathe. You don't do all that.
Sounds like a little poem we're getting here.
Oh, no, I'm just being silly.
No. I love it.
So my goodness, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 75.5 days longer. They're probably only covered, I don't know, metaphorically 5 minutes of what makes Lisa the lovely Lisa that she is today. So mind filling in any cavities I may have missed about you?
I think that's good. Harvard Medical School Publishing course, former faculty, because that course ended during COVID. But other than that, it's all there.
Oh, bugger. All right, I knew I missed a cavity somewhere. All right, cool. I knew I missed something. I knew I missed something about the missus.
I figured I might get in trouble if I'm if I'm not exact.
Yeah, well, good deal. Good deal indeed. Well, hey, now it's been put out in the air, so hey, now they know. It's okay. It's the name of the game. We're trying to promote you and help you advance. We ain't trying to get you in trouble. That we save that for the other podcasts. We just want clicks and not just genuine, helpful content.
That's right.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So, my goodness. So, since you're a veteran at this, if you were to describe your journey from the mini Lisa to the adult Lisa that you are today in three magical words, what would they be and why?
They would be poet, Bundy, Bay, is that one? Can we make that one word?
Sure.
And creativity.
There we go. She's a poet and she knows it.
And her feet show it.
You said and her feet show it. That's what. There we go. I knew feet were neat. That's right, indeed. Because poetry, I believe that was when you were in your early teens or preteen years, right?
Yeah, I can remember like being in seventh grade and we would spend our summers in New Brunswick, Canada, because my dad was a teacher, so he had summers off and Lane was cheap there. And I woke up like early in the morning, must have been 4 a.m, and just wrote poem after poem as I saw the sunrise over Fundy Bay. So that was, I think, my spiritual home in a way.
Yeah, me luck indeed. That's right indeed. The fun part about it is, it's like I heard you're a bit of a slower reader back then too, right?
I was, yeah. I think I was slightly dyslexic, and my brother turned out to be dyslexic. But, because I would spell funny when I wrote in handwriting, and I read really slowly. But I think it's made me a good editor because I hear every word in my head.
Yeah, me lucky. That's right indeed. So it sounds like words of life.
Oh, they are. My father was an English teacher, so we definitely grew up with a reverence for words. But, you know, poetry, too, is rhythm. And I think rhythm is like a beats inside you, right?
Oh, yes, right indeed. The drum within.
Mm-hmm.
You'll love to see it, indeed. Isn't it funny how it's like our parents are known for one thing and they're experts at one thing, and then eventually it goes to the kiddos in one way or another.
Yeah. Or sometimes skips a generation. It's fun to see now my 18-year-old son. He sits at the computer making music the way my father did, his grandfather. And none of us have like that musical talent. My sister, maybe she played piano, but he's certainly not me. And then he also does super well in chemistry, and his great-grandfather was a perfume chemist. So sometimes it skips a generation or two, but it is there. It comes back.
Oh, me luck indeed. The more you know. Didn't even know you had a perfume chemist in the family.
I know. He used to say he was a real daydreamer. And that, like, he was so precise. I never met him because he died before I was born. But he was, like, extremely precise and systematic. He would tell my mother and her sisters how much toilet paper they could use for number one, which was one square. And for number two, they got two squares. And yet he was this artist. He painted and he took photographs. But, you know, he also had this very scientific, regimented side.
Ooh. There we go.
Interesting, man.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So what helped you to finally get the confidence to eventually become a writer and publish your first book? Because if I'm not mistaken, it was about anger management, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It was. I was working in a nonprofit for 10 years. And, I worked at this nonprofit for 10 years as executive director, but it was within the first few years, I got quite sick. I got chronic fatigue, and it took a while to get a diagnosis. And I was really searching for answers, so I tried all kinds of alternative healing and found that polarity therapy helped me a lot. And this was something that borrowed from Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine. The founder had lived like for years in China and for years in India, and he was from Vienna. I think he was from Austria. He was a naturopath and osteopath. And so he combined all these things and Gestalt therapy and created this thing called polarity. And it helped me so much. I ended up studying it because I was just curious, like, wow, how did this thing help me heal? And at that time, I was lying in bed one night and I couldn't fall asleep. And I felt like, oh, this is anger, but I don't know what to do with it. And I thought, oh, well, in polarity, we think of anger as fire. So I just started imagining this fire coursing through my body, and it was powerful. And, you know, it went from like my feeling like I wanted to run away from my body to really feeling powerful in my body. But then I still couldn't fall asleep because I had all this powerful energy coursing through. So I started writing, and it was what became the seeds for The Ultimate Guide to Transforming Anger, which kind of used like
helping people tap into their inner wisdom, their sense of humor, and their creativity to find new ways to connect with their anger, to understand the message and express it in healthy ways.
Healthy ways indeed, healthy ways indeed. I guess that was the path set ahead for your newest work, Breathe. Right, Breathe. It's like, up, all that anger and being around folks who are angry all the time. It's like, I don't need that in my life.
Exactly. You got it. You got it. Like, after the book came out and we started doing these anger workshops and, you know, people would come because their spouses had sent them there with their arms crossed or their, you know, their employer. And I thought, like, what am I doing with people's anger? I'm not even an expert in that. One of my co-authors was, I thought, this makes no sense. And I realized one day in a yoga class, it was like a download. Oh, just teach people the steps that I use to get into creative space. But that ended up turning into, at first I even thought, oh, I'll be a creativity coach. But people kept coming to me for writing and often specifically help with a book proposal. And then my big break did come when my publicist said, hey, I was talking to the director of Harvard Medical School's CME publishing course, and they could use more instructors for the writing workshops. And are you interested? And, you know, of course I said yes. And met all kinds of really amazing people in the medical field who are doing incredible research or had amazing new insights into health and well-being and in their specific areas, and helped them learn how to write for a lay audience because they were so used to academic writing, make it interesting, make it come to life on the page, and also to help them write their book proposals. So it was a really satisfying journey. And, you know, I have to say that was a hugely lucky break that I will never forget.
Me luck indeed. Because, hey, folks need it. Folks really freaking need it. Right, indeed. Because these days it's like, hey, like a jokingly call the year 2020, the COVID era, actually the book boomer era, because so many folks had the time to write books, so they want to write books, and it's like, hey, they probably had a lot of stress too, and with your expertise it's like, hey, yeah, you get to remember to breathe while you're doing it too, so it's like, hey, relax the body.
That's true. What I find is that I many years I practiced Qigong, which is people think of it as a martial art, but it also is often done for health and personal growth and spiritual growth. And it's a wonderful system for really tapping into our vitality and our deepest well of inspiration. And because it's movement oriented, mindful movement, it really helps you get into a state of flow very quickly. And that kind of mindful movement, as well as breathing exercises, both are scientifically proven to enhance creativity. So I applied these to sort of, I would share in the book, in each chapter, share a story from my life, whether it's me personally or working with a client, and apply it to writing. Some of them are directly about writing and others are more playful. Some might be a dream or another kind of playful experience, meditative experience, but applying that to writing with some lessons and then sharing a Qigong exercise or a yoga exercise with clients and helping the reader to guiding them through doing that exercise, and then really playful prompts that relate both to the story and also to the meditation or movement practice. So it's very fun because I think it, you know, it's a book that really engages you, right? It's like you can't just be a passive observer of this book. You're like all in, and it takes you on a journey. And it's been fun because I just led a retreat on Saturday with my friend Robin Call, and she's a big book person in Rhode Island, and people came back and they had been to a previous retreat, many of them, and said, I'm a different person after working through the practices in this book. And they've really changed my writing and give me so much inspiration day to day. And there were people who said, I use these prompts every day. One woman said, you know, I don't even think of myself as a writer, but I carry this book around daily and I apply what's in it to my business and to do that in creative ways. So it's been really fun to hear what the book has done for people.
Sounds like breathe the business, breathe.
For her, it is.
Yes, right.
I guess
indeed.
There could be a series here, right, Dom?
See, there you go. Yeah. You never know what'll pop out of your brain here. That's right, indeed. It's like, hey, if she doesn't plan on writing a book, but it's helping her business, shoot, there we go.
Well, you've been encouraging me to turn it into an audiobook.
Oh, yeah, because that freaking lovely voice of yours, shoot, like, hey, might as well use it. Right, read the book, take it on the go. Because, I mean, hey, with this book, it got to be on the go by default anyway with the activities.
Yeah, it makes you work, but the work is play. So that's the good news.
Heck yeah, shoot. Straight indeed. Might come out feeling like a penguin, or better yet, maybe a penguin with bunny ears for no reason. Straight indeed.
Maybe that's your muse, the penguin with bunny ears.
Yeah, that is probably one of my favorite animal references to drop on this podcast. Yeah, because penguins are overall loved by just about everybody. Oh, man, but hey. So, my goodness, so with this wonderful book, like, shoot, and with your Qigong practice throughout the years and all of your expertise, like, what did you learn about yourself through this whole process from start to finish with this wonderful book? Because I'm pretty sure you probably learned something new about yourself through the whole wonderful ordeal.
Yeah, and I think I still am, right? It's like an ever-growing process. And, you know, I heard an author once, I can't remember who it was, but I heard him say that as he continues his personal growth, his books actually change energetically and they offer new things to the readers. And I thought that was so beautiful, but I think it's true. One of the things that I've learned through writing this book and through Qigong really is how to connect more deeply to my own inner guidance and nature and, you know, all that is really, right? And that, of course, continues to be a journey. It's something that continues to expand. So I hope readers will get that, too.
There you go. All the expansion. That's right, indeed. In terms of flexibility, not the waist expansion.
No. In terms of expanding the mind and the heart, the spirit and the vitality, the wisdom and the inspiration.
the inspiration indeed. So my goodness, so congrats on running a successful retreat. You finally got this book out. It's got a gang of awards and probably a gang more of them to show up. So is there any big future projects coming up that you're excited about now that you got the wonderful book behind you and now in front of other people?
Yeah, I've been writing poetry, so I think I'm going to start working on editing it soon and hope to put out a few poetry books because that's a big passion of mine as well. And then I do have an ongoing group, Get Your Writing Done, which people have access to all my self-study programs on book writing and publishing and creativity. And then we meet twice. People can come once a week or twice a week. It's up to them. But we get in the creative zone using a lot of the practices in Breathe, Write, Breathe. We write for 45 minutes. We have some chance to share insights, challenges. I do some laser coaching if people need it. And can do breakouts with people while others are writing on the call. And then we kind of do a rinse and repeat and do the same thing the next hour with a little more time for sharing at the end. We don't do a huge sharing time because a lot of it is really about giving people a space where they feel safe and inspired. And it's like a download, you know, they can just write. And I offer some prompts so they don't need to use them if they have an ongoing project, but they can. So that's a big piece of what I'm offering nowadays and really enjoying.
Ah, enjoy indeed. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about indeed. It's right indeed. Because, yeah, here you got that wonderful magic of merging the wonderful muse with the marketplace indeed with all the work you've done with your clients. So has there been a client experience in the past that helped you to up your game as a overall entrepreneur since you do book coaching and you've written so many wonderful proposals in the past? Has there been one of those experiences where it's like, oh yeah, I feel like I really got it now, like this is the new Lisa level 99 here?
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but the Qigong really changed my life. And I apply it to, you know, to everything because I'm practicing daily. And, you know, it gives that inspiration for the writing, but also for the teaching. And I use it in my classes and people love it. They often say that, like, it's a game changer for them. And I think a lot of us are not necessarily great meditators. You know, meditation is not an easy thing, but Qigong is movement and meditation. So for me, I'm very antsy. And for me, it's a wonderful way to really feel in my body and slow down, but not have to be still. So it works. And I think there are a lot of people like that. So I think for me, that's the key.
It's hilarious hearing you say you're antsy because your voice is so calming.
Oh, that's the Qigong coming through.
Ah, you love to see it indeed. You love to see it indeed. So, my goodness, so since you've been on so many wonderful interviews promoting the magic that you do to help out other folks, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Oh, wow. I think what I love to hear from people is when they ask about, well, how can I access that, right? Like what, and to give them those tools. Because I'm not big about, you know, I have all the answers or something like that. It's much more, well, those answers are inside you. So let's take a little journey to your muse. I'll help you figure out what the questions are. And then let's go ask your muse the questions and find out the answers. So I think for me, my most favorite part is really helping people come up with the questions and helping them access their inner answers.
Access their inner answers. There you go. I guess when the answers change, keep changing the questions, huh?
That's right. That's right. That is so true. And, you know, there is a place for expertise. So certainly if somebody's writing a book proposal, I'm going to answer all their questions about that. But we still, like, even if it seems to me that it makes sense for them to self-publish versus traditionally publish, we still go to their inner muse to get the final answer, right? So, you know, there's a balance, I think, between understanding the marketplace, understanding what works, understanding what makes good writing, but then also listening for those deeper answers. Because if we just listen to kind of that marketplace information, we risk not taking risks. We risk not going on the adventure. We risk not thinking outside the box and not experimenting. So I think with creativity, there's an important balance might be a word, but an important thing to be mindful about that we want to step into both worlds, right? Like that business world where all authors are entrepreneurs at some level, unless they're not going to sell their book. And, you know, we want that book to reach as many people as possible and impact as many people as possible. At the same time, we want to listen to our heart and really open to what the book wants to be.
What the book wants to be, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. Sometimes I may just want to chill around a lot of wonderful pollen. That's right, indeed.
That is true. And, you know, I have a system for writing nonfiction books, but I always tell people you've got to listen to your own process, too, because my system can make it quicker and help you get at things easier and quicker. But some books really
want the author to muddle around for a long time and explore different things, and the book really changes over time. So, you know, there's again that balance of finding a process or a system, and then also trusting where the book leads you, whatever that organic process is.
There you go. Organic indeed. That's right. Coming from the gardener herself, it's an organic process. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, since you've been in business for so long and helping out so many folks, I'm pretty sure you probably had some setbacks along the way. So has there been a major setback in business, heck, maybe even in life, that actually was a setup for your success?
Well, definitely that chronic fatigue experience. You know, at the time, I mean, it was hard to drag myself out of bed. I went to my job as a nonprofit director and I would take a nap in the middle of the day. There was a staff lounge and you could go up there. There was a couch and I would take a nap, and sometimes it would be half an hour, and sometimes I would nap for 2 hours and just stay late. But it got me through the day. So it was a really challenging time in the beginning. Doctors didn't know what it was. It was kind of before they were diagnosing chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia. And so it was really trying. But that's what led to my writing my first book and discovering alternative healing and holistic healing, and led me on a lifelong path of healing myself, right, growing, and even working with the ancestors for ancestral healing. So it continues to be, I think, right, and I think your question sort of indicates that often the things that are most challenging are those that also help us grow and expand and experience life more richly. And in the long run, they have the biggest gifts.
That's right indeed. But sometimes the bows are made out of barbed wire. I can tell you picture that.
I know. Thinking, yeah, they draw that beautiful red blood, just like a bright red bow.
Oh. It's like, dang it, how am I going to get this gift open? It's like, I may shoot some gloves. Like, they're worth thick enough. No. Well, fun question for you. Your fabulous book, Breathe Right, Breathe, 18 Energizing Practices to Spark Your Writing and Free Your Voice. So if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, I think it would be a very healthy banquet. And why? I think there's such a richness to it. There's so much in it. And it would be organic, I have to say. It would be organic. Probably grown in my garden or yours, Dom. But yeah, I think it's very nourishing and good for you, but enjoyable too. And it would be organic and grown in one of our gardens, because it really helps you grow your roots right into that garden and up into the heavens where the inspiration flows from. Kind of like those carrots growing in my garden, although right now there are no carrots growing in my garden. I live in New England, but the ones that grew last year and will grow again this coming year. Do you grow anything in your garden? Do you have a garden?
Oh, no garden for me at the moment. I've actually grown a couple potatoes before as an experiment, but that's probably the mostly I've done gardening. Oh, well, then again, helping parents out with the flower beds. When I was like way younger, but.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, no gardening these days.
Because you kept bringing up these gardening metaphors, so I was curious. It's interesting. quite a few times now, I've wanted to ask you questions because you said things that like really intrigued me. But I thought, okay, that's not your place, Lisa. This is a podcast interview.
That's cool. Sure, go ahead. Sure, ask me one of the questions that was in your brain.
Well, how do you access your creativity? You know, when you're going to write, do you have like a ritual or process you go through, or?
That's hilarious. Because I've been asking guests that question recently myself. That's hilarious. Yeah, for me, usually like coffee, as soon as I make a cup of coffee, that usually sparks the brain, just the aroma of it. And heck, even taking breaks to coffee shops, because like I can get maybe a couple hundred words at home, maybe, but it just doesn't happen as well as if I'm like outside of the home, like somewhere else, like need that ambient noise. Like definitely coffee, music, those are definitely my muses. Heck, even sometimes it just sparks out of nowhere after a workout. Like I remember, funny enough, the last chapter of my second book, Stay the Course, like that book was written right after 2 hours of doing CrossFit and kickboxing in the middle of freaking July.
So like you're proving that point that exercise, which, you know, again, science, exercise really enhances creativity. So that's very cool.
Yeah, it does. I was like, yep, just sweating away all that mental fog and the giant clay monster of, I guess, no productivity, and the productivity appeared.
And I do think there is something about writing in like a cafe that just, there's so much stimulation. And I think you can tap into that like zeitgeist that's in there, right? It's especially when I was young, that was like how I tapped in often, was going into a cafe. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, indeed. That's right, indeed. Cafe Pals. You'll love to see it. That's right, indeed. Oh, man. Well, babe, coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if it'll wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Pick up Qigong and write every day, journal every morning, write down those dreams. Yeah, I think I waited a little longer to do those things than, you know, I just think, oh, if I had started this earlier, really stuck to it. But I suppose the other advice I could give myself would just be, it's all going to work out. Don't worry so much about these things. Everything's going to work out.
Yeah. That's right, indeed. And folks are probably like, man, Lisa's air for me and my creativity. So for those who need to get more metaphorical air into their wonderful balloons to put out their great work and keep up with all the stuff that you're doing and cop copies of all of your books, what's the best way for folks to do so, Lisa?
Well, come to my website, lisatenner.com, lisatenner.com. And I have lots of free stuff there, a free 7-day book writing course and all kinds of other free resources. Definitely check out the blog, ask your questions there. And then definitely get a copy of Breathe Right Breathe. That's going to be super helpful.
Super helpful indeed. You'll love to see it. We're going to put a link to all of Lisa's goods in the show notes because she's got a whole bunch of goods, y'all. That's right, indeed. A whole bunch of great stuff, indeed. Check her out like a library book and buy copies of her magical books, y'all. You won't regret it. That's right, indeed. You'll take your creativity from beer belly to six-pack abs, y'all. That's right, indeed.
Oh, I love this.
That's right. It'll be an eight-pack pair of abs if you remember to breathe, too. Well, before a random vacuum appears to find a penguin, any parting words before we close up shop?
Just do it. You know, I think people get so stuck on whether they can write or whether it's going to be any good or anybody's going to read it. Just just write and give yourself that gift, that time. And don't worry so much about other people at first, you know, just reading it or not reading it or liking it or not. Just really do it for yourself. And you'll find, I think, a lot of personal growth, a lot of delight in writing, and it will just naturally lead to ways you can share it.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.